full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the unbiased lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of a quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow that. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. We'll stop there. Om Ajnana Chimirandasya Gyananjana Shalabhaya Chakshunyulitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. This verse was always a great source of inspiration during the days of Prabhupada's presence on this earth. This is what this verse rallied countless devotees to dedicate their youth to spreading the Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, the effects of the countercultural days were still there, in which young people wanted to see a change in the world, young people's response to spiritual life. Because you were just 18 or 19 years old, and that meant you faced being sent to the jungles of Vietnam to die. So naturally you began to think seriously about life. The American youth, the Australian youth, I guess the New Zealanders were right there. They were being sent off to the war fields in Vietnam. So they began to question, what is the point of this society? What is the point of life? And therefore, they were looking for alternatives. So, countless young persons, they joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and they wanted to see a change in society, and this verse was very motivating. Prabhupada writes that this transcendental literature can bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Countless devotees wanted to see that kind of change, and they had the conviction that Krishna consciousness could bring it about. Like the Australian devotees were telling me that in the early 80s, this is going on even in the early 80s, that they were so confident how Krishna consciousness was expanding that they already had all the devotees picked out who were going to form the government of Australia. You laugh, you know, I'm getting serious, guys. We can't even, staff the deity roster or clean the floor of the temple. And these guys were planning, who's the prime minister, who's the this, who's the that. They were serious. So we can look at that great enthusiasm as being naive, that we were just young, or you could analyze that Srila Prabhupada had that rare ability to infuse devotees with Krishna's vision. And Krishna does want a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Therefore, we have to decide, was it just youthful enthusiasm, or was it Krishna's desire, and the devotees had been infected with Krishna's desire because of Prabhupada's extraordinary presence? Or you could say it's a combination of both. There's no doubt that Prabhupada always thought big. He himself said that. He said, all my life, ever since I was a child, I always thought big. I never made small plans. You know, when Prabhupada was a small boy, he describes how he would stage his own Ratha Yatra with his own Ratha Yatra cart, small, and he would invite his friends and they would perform Ratha Yatra, just like Jagannath Puri. So, Prabhupada says all his life, he was always making schemes like this. I never thought small. He wrote in one letter, I kept taped to my locker when I was a young devotee in New York. Back then, the Brahmacharya Ashram, you had a locker. That, and how big was the locker? Oh, it was about, how many centimeters is that? 20 centimeters wide, and how many centimeters is that? 80 centimeters long, which is your locker. You kept all your stuff in there. And you might ask, well, where did you get all your clothes from? Well, back then, all laundry was merged in everything. So, when you wanted clothes, you went to the laundry room and they had all clothes just stacked up on shelves, and you, whatever was there, you took, and that's what you wore. I mean, everything. So, you guys have a pretty this letter from Prabhupada saying, all my life I've always made big plans. I've never thought small. My desire, he was speaking to the Americans, my desire is to take over the government of your country and make it Krishna conscious. So it wasn't just the youthful enthusiasm of the devotees. Prabhupada was speaking like this all the time. And he would add, but I know such big plans will not be successful unless those who are making the plans and executing the plans are pure. But still, he would always speak like that. He would say, Krishna can give you the whole USA, but he won't do it until you are pure enough. Just like a doctor won't prescribe sweets to a patient who's sick, but when the patient gets healthy, then the doctor allows the patient to have sweets. So this vision of affecting the world with Krishna consciousness was normal. Every devotee was enthused by this, and Prabhupada would constantly make the point. And this verse, it galvanized countless devotees to go on Sankirtan and distribute Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada himself was saying, yes, it's a fact. If you want to please me, you should distribute my books. And so this is how things work. Yesterday I was out watching the devotees who were distributing books, and I was thinking, why do they do this? What is motivating them? They don't have to do this. We all know all you have to do is say the temple bread, and oh, the service is too hard, or everything in Krishna consciousness is voluntary. So I was thinking, why are they doing this? I was watching Charan and Bhakti Jara and Nakula. Why would someone do this these days? Because at the present moment, there's not the huge, incentives that were present during Prabhupada's time. And Prabhupada was personally driving the whole Sankirtan mission. He was personally, he himself said, I'm from wherever I am, I'm beating my drum, and the beats are going all over the world through the Sankirtan movement. So there was great, communal support from devotees for those who are distributing Prabhupada's books. Now, of course, it is different. Someone who wants to distribute Prabhupada's books or even read Prabhupada's books requires a great individual commitment because it's not the enormous social exhortation and enthusiasm to propel you in that way. You have to be self-propelled these days. So I was watching these devotees and wondering how they are being self-propelled. They get no glory. Back in the old days, you got glory. You know, you were always being glorified and everyone looked up to you. Oh, you're going out to distribute Prabhupada's books. Oh, I wonder. Now they exist. In fact, even devotees will tell you, you'll get over that as you get older. I even have devotees telling me, you'll get over this in a few years and I will spit. What does it mean if you're 24, 25? We cannot get over Prabhupada's mission. What can we do? Lord Chaitanya has said, go everywhere, whoever you meet, and teach them the science of Krishna. And you see in the purport here that Prabhupada is blaming the world's problems on India. He says, because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. So Prabhupada has given us the best of India in his books which glorify Krishna. And somehow or other, in whatever situation we are in, if we take Prabhupada's books very seriously and try to make them the center of our life, read them, distribute them to others, this way, that way, whatever we can manage, certainly we'll feel Prabhupada's blessings. It's not that reading the books and distributing them is a brahmachari service, or what you do when you're a brahmachari. No, it is everyone's affair, because it is the order of Lord Chaitanya, wherever you go, wherever you meet. Actually, Lord Chaitanya gave that order to a householder. Not a Brahmin, sorry. So in our own way, some or other, we have to try. It's like Prabhupada told Purijan Prabhu. It's not that the spiritual master says how many books you have to distribute, but it is a fact. The spiritual master says everyone should try to do this. Somehow or other, as a householder, the people we know, the people we meet, we can interest them in Krishna conscious literature. That's all. We just have to try our best. Krishna is in the heart watching. He knows our situation. You don't have to explain your practicalities to Krishna. Certainly it was easier when Prabhupada was physically present, because the whole atmosphere was supportive of very enthusiastic Krishna conscious preaching. Every devotee, as I was saying earlier, every devotee thought, yes, any moment will become so prominent. And Prabhupada himself was saying like that. If things go on like this, Krishna consciousness will very soon become a dominant factor in the societies of the world. And then, of course, Prabhupada left this world. And it is natural that upon the disappearance of such an extraordinary person, there is always some chaos and trouble. Prabhupada himself writes about that in the fourth canto. It is natural upon the disappearance of the pure devotee that there's going to be upheaval. But those who are sincere followers, they try their best to go on executing the order of the spiritual master. So I was watching these devotees out there yesterday, and I was thinking, what material reward do they get for this? They certainly get no fame in society for it, and they really don't get much credit amongst devotees for doing it. But certainly, Lord Chaitanya is individually blessing them. There's no doubt it's hard to go on simply on your own motivation, but that is the way things are. And there's always a silver lining to every cloud. If you're in a situation in which you have to be very self-motivated, it makes your offering to Krishna sweeter, because you're voluntarily mustering up all your energies to offer something to the Lord. Whereas if you're swept along positively by the enthusiasm of everyone, that's nice, but it's a much more tasty offering when you have to reach deep down within yourself and give something to Krishna. That is very precious bhakti. So I was watching these devotees and thinking like that. They're going to have to be very highly motivated. And where are they going to get this motivation from? Well, they have Prabhupada's books. If they read them seriously, they'll become enthused and they'll want to let others share in reading Prabhupada's books. And this verse that rallied so many devotees in the old days, it still applies. The mission of our founder, Shire, is to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. And Srimad Bhagavatam can do that. We can remember Prabhupada's first words when he arrived in the West. When the Jaladuta pulled into the Boston Harbor, Prabhupada wrote his prayers. And he said, how will these people ever become Christians? they're so degraded. He was expressing his reaction to the reality of the situation. Look at these people. They're so degraded. How will they ever become Krishna conscious? It looks impossible. So we're not the only ones to feel like that. But then Prabhupada added that, but I know that if they get to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, their hearts will change. So just as much as he was expressing amazement, how will these people ever become Krishna conscious? At the same time, he was expressing his complete conviction that if they get a chance to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, their hearts will change. And he said, Krishna, you're the most expert mystic. You have arranged that they go into Maya. You can arrange they come out of Maya. Therefore, just consider me your puppet. Make me dance as you like. Make me a success or failure as you like. This is a wonderful prayer for those trying to distribute Krishna consciousness. The perfect ideal prayer. They've given me the name Bhaktivedanta, but Krishna, if you like, you can fulfill that title. Make me a success or failure as you like. Make me dance according to your will. But I'm going to try to carry out your order. We'll see what happens. In other words, Prabhupada is expressing firm, absolute conviction in Krishna's potency and saying, I'll try my best and we'll see whether Krishna agrees to use me successfully or as a failure. That's up to him. But I'm going to give everything I have for this purpose. Prabhupada was explaining once why he chose to go to the USA and not London or another place. And he said, well, a few of my godbrothers had gone to London and they failed. And a few of them went to some other places and failed. So I figured, well, let me go fail in a different place. He didn't say such a thing and then half-heartedly make an effort. No, he put his whole life's energy into the effort, so much so that he suffered two heart attacks on the ship over. And he wrote that his only solace was Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is showing us the ideal life of a distributor of Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada points out that even before he took sannyas, even his household life, he was always doing something to spread Krishna consciousness. So, right before Prabhupada's departure from this world, he said, in the future, when our householders become independent, then it will become more dangerous. I was also a householder. I had children, family, but I was always living near the temple and coming to the temple regularly and participating in activities there. But if our householders move off and they don't participate regularly in the temple, then things will be very dangerous. So he said like that, looking into the future. And he was then, I was also a householder. I know what it's like, but I was very much involved in contributing to the temple, being involved in temple activities. So he said, householder, that's all right. Right, family, that's all right. But that doesn't mean you just go off on your own. So, it's a very good meditation to think, how can we apply this verse today? We don't have that great enthusiasm that was present when Prabhupada was physically present. We can say that the devotees from back then, if they're still around, they're older. And the social times have changed. The 60s and early 70s, that was countercultural days. If you were like a so-called straight person back then, you were a freak. went on SanctorCon, what we would do is, you know, just look for the person with long hair and distribute to them. There were so many of them. And if you were a short-haired person, you know, a straight person, you would reach out like a friend. But those social days are no longer here. What happened? By the time the end of the 80s rolled around and into the 90s, times changed, and the mood of society was very much, let's be prosperous, let's be normal members of society. There was no countercultural sentiment amongst the people, young or old. Everyone was concerned with economic development. So, this has had a great effect on persons coming to Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't think that just because the 90s have been mainly concerned with prosperity and being socially acceptable, we shouldn't think that things are always like that. Just like the 60s brought about something, and then something else came, similarly, something else will come other than what we have today. Therefore, we're still left, after all is said and done, we're still left with Prabhupada's order, Lord Chaitanya's mission. I remember once, I also had another letter came to my locker. Prabhupada was writing a senior devotee, a leader, and he's saying that, I'm hearing so many things about you, not good, you know, some misbehavior. You can imagine how forlorn I'm feeling. But that's all right. I know Lord Chaitanya will send me the right persons to spread his mission. If not you, somebody else. That was Prabhupada's conviction. Hope should be that we can be that someone else. We want to become used by Krishna before the next death comes. How we can do that according to our ashram? We should beg Krishna to reveal. How can I play a part in Srila Prabhupada's desires to make the world Krishna conscious in accordance with my ashram responsibilities? If you don't ask Krishna that, you won't get the intelligence. Anyone with a soft heart has to be affected by how degraded and how much suffering people are going through. Just like last night, we had a very nice young lady attending the loft. And it was just one person. Everyone else was a devotee. The room was packed with about 15 devotees and one guest. You can imagine it was pretty overwhelming for the guest. Your first time, it was the first time for the, you know, there's 15 haris in the room, you know, all looking at you, you know. Anyway, we always should try to make such persons feel comfortable. We don't want them to feel outnumbered and like they're just aliens. You want to make such persons feel that they are the center of attraction. They're the only person in the world. That's the point. Give them all attention. It's not easy with so many devotees around because devotees, they like to, you know, that they want to display their superiority generally over the guests. You know. Oh, you've come to the Hare Krishna. We're going to tell you. You have to be wary of that because people are accustomed to so many religions trying to lay a trip on them, trying to be missionaries. And so they're always on guard about that, especially if they're university people. They're skeptical. Look, what trip are you trying to lay on me? But instead, if you can get them to feel that, oh, we're we're just having a friendly chat here. We're just discussing life. Yeah, no big deal, you know. We're a thinking person is just like you. And we're just having a little chat about things and, you know, feeling comfortable and, you know, discussing one another. No big deal. We do this all the time. Nice that you happen to come along. Feel comfortable. It's your place here. If you can convey that mood instead, it's much more productive. Rather than, you know, the guest comes in the room and the devotees are waiting. Okay, you're going to run the gauntlet. We're going to wait out here. So, we were discussing with this person, a 22-year-old girl, a master's degree in astrophysics, and about to start her PhD. Not an ordinary Jill off the street. But she was explaining how she loved to study and to, you know, for a master's degree in astrophysics and to be going for your PhD. I mean, that means you're at the top of the scientific pile. She didn't act like it, but still, the fact with those kinds of credentials, it means a very serious business. Astrophysics, that means how stars form and are destroyed, and what happens to the energy of stars. So, it's pretty high-grade stuff from the material point of view. So, she, I asked, well, what are you doing? You know, when you come to New Zealand, so what do you do? What do you do here? Oh, well, just, they all say like this. I'll just, you know, coming to see and meet interesting people. I never accept that as an answer. Come on, what do you actually do? What did you do 2 nights ago? Oh, well, I went to a pub and got drunk. Just see. All this education, master's, PhD, all this traveling just to go somewhere and get drunk. And I said, and I know what was happening while you were getting drunk. The men were watching and waiting, hoping you'd get drunk enough that they could go home with you. I said, yeah, it's like that. So I said, just see, all this education just for that. You're 22. You've fried your brains for years studying astrophysics. About to go for your PhD. And after all this said and done, you just get drunk and have some drunk men sniffing after you. What is the point of this? And because she was a bit humble, she could feel like this. It's very strange. So then, I asked her, you ask some of the ladies here if they do that. She was so submissive that she actually asked Mother Monkey, do you go get drunk? Mother Monkey said, no. It was funny, she got so caught up in the discussion that she was just doing these things naturally. You see, that's the goal. You want the guests to feel natural so that they'll actually reveal these things without feeling hung up. But that takes some skill. You want them to feel so comfortable that they can go on and on talking about what they really feel and answer the most incriminating questions without getting a complex about it. So I was quite tickled with it. She just she turned to the devotee and said, ask any devotee, ask any of these ladies, and they get drunk and have men sniffing after them. So she turned to the devotee, so do you get drunk and anything like that? And she was a little surprised. No, you don't. In other words, I pointed out to her, here you are, going for your PhD, but you have no idea of any higher kind of pleasure than getting yes, yes, just like that. So anyone would feel so compassionate for such persons. Now, how did she get here? She bought a Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, a sanctified devotee in Australia. And she had read the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. So by the time she got here, what did she meet somebody? Got a flyer at Gopal. By the time she got here, she had already been exposed to association with Prabhupada's books. So there are people who want to hear this. Obviously, she's not going to surrender overnight. But the fact that she is involving her intelligence in Bhagavad Gita, that is very rare. So right before our eyes, we can see persons becoming Krishna conscious. She started to use her intelligence and think along Krishna conscious lines. That is a very great step forward. And because she had Prabhupada's book, all this talking we were doing last night wouldn't be in vain. Otherwise, Prabhupada always said, what were your, all your efforts at preaching, what will they do? After you finish talking to the person, they'll forget everything. But if they have a book, they take a book with them, then that will stay with them. So Prabhupada always judged successful preaching by whether or not the person had a book. So when someone's reading Prabhupada's books, it's very nice to preach to them because you can assist Prabhupada by encouraging the person to read the book they have. You can say, all right, you're in the introduction now. Soon you'll be in chapter 2, and chapter 2 says like this, and then you'll get to chapter such and such will say like that. You can whet their appetite. The most ecstatic kind of preaching, assisting Prabhupada by enthusing someone to read his books. Of course, first they have to have the books in order to be enthused to read them. So somebody sacrificed. So this young lady would get a book. Someone sacrificed. Someone was out on the street in New Monday in Australia near Noosa. Now obviously that devotee wasn't getting huge fame, and back in the old days you get a mile plate every day. The top distributor get a mile plate. You get your name read out every morning, the drums would play, the car just not like that anymore. So, nevertheless, some devotee doing his or her little best to assist Srila Prabhupada sold this lady a book. She read it, and then she was able to discuss it. And from the mundane point of view, very highly placed young lady. I mean, if you're starting your PhD in astrophysics, it's a big deal. Yet, because of the purification from Prabhupada's books, she's coming very humble. And she really had to be humble to this person because I put her through it for an hour and a half. Showing her what her future was going to be. All right, you're in New Zealand getting drunk and having men sniff at you. You're going to go to Fiji and it's going to be the same thing. And you're going to go to L.A., same thing. You don't understand who you are. You don't understand what your purpose in life is. When people feel wanted and appreciated, they'll very easily communicate. So we want them to be in a situation in which they can take Prabhupada's books very seriously. And she has her book with her, so wherever she goes, she'll go on reading it. We don't know how it will turn out. It's not easy preaching these days because society is made things very difficult. Just like in Hamilton, there was a group of young people I was preaching to. They're about in their mid-20s. Ah, they even They were at the big gathering. They were helping with the cooking. Yes, with Leah and Jer and Stu, and they also came to Christ Church Temple after that. Young people in their mid-20s, one of them had his own plastering business. The girl, his partner, she's a secretary at a real estate agency. And the guy, the other guy, he makes jewelry. So they're employed young people. I'm sure the devotees remember them, but they're very nice. So they started. I had been doing programs with them, and especially when they came back from Christ Church, they were very enthusiastic. We should try Krishna consciousness. It seems to be a cool thing. So Jer, he started chanting 16 rounds even. And then Stu, who had the girlfriend, he was, you know, starting, I should get into this. You know, he really liked listening to devotional music. And the girl, however, she was hesitant. You know, she could sense these guys get too much into Krishna. Especially if my man gets too much into Krishna, this could mean some unfavorable changes in life. So, alright, I went there. Before going to India last month, did a program. They all were fired up. Yeah, this is great. The lady was so-so, you know, seeing which way the wind was going to blow. And anyway, the men were fired up. So one was even chanting 60 rounds. The other was thinking, yeah, this all makes sense. They were inviting their friends. This is really nice. It's cool to try to. It looks all great, right? Then I come back from India and I hear that the boy who was chanting 16 rounds, he started experiencing how turbulent his mind was, and he blamed it on the chanting, so he decided to stop chanting and go to a Vipassana retreat. And of course, another devotee explained to him that turbulence you're feeling is purification. You thought you had a peaceful mind, now you're finding out how dirty it is, so you should go on cleansing. Don't jump out of the shower now. The dirt's just starting to loosen on you. You'll wash it away. But no, it's turbulence, you know. So he just, after chanting 60 rounds for 2 weeks, he stopped. And then what happened to the other guy with the girlfriend? She laid down the law on him. You choose. Basically, he told him, it's either me, meaning my body, or Krishna, take your choice. And he took his choice. That was the end of that. Now, they're just not into it anymore. So you might say, well, what's the point in all this preaching and all and going through all this endeavor? Like, I was even chanting 16 rounds, and look what happened. They were reading Prabhupada's books, and look, just the discouragement. I didn't even bother with these people. Now, we have been ordered by Lord Chaitanya, therefore we continue on like this. We don't know how it's going to turn out. It's not our job to consider victory or defeat. We're simply the servants of Lord Chaitanya. Just like Prabhupada said, Krishna, you make me a success or failure as you like, but I'm going to carry out your order. Prabhupada always says that even during his householder years, he was always thinking, how am I going to carry out the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? So we shouldn't lose our drive and our vigor. That is the gift of the succession. This verse is still true now, as it was in the 70s, as it's been for all times. The Bhagavatam can bring about a change. The Srimad Bhagavatam can bring about a change of heart. And the bigger, the more they fight off, the better it is for them. It's more surrender. The more of their Lakshmi that they give you, the more they're surrendering to Krishna. If they only have $10, they They give them 50% of their wealth because if they have millions, they give you $10. It's still, they gave to Krishna. The more devotional service they buy off, the better. That's the way you look at it. Anything else? Yes?
One question I have from the lady to the spirit. Not only to the first extension of Krishna, I have a question about the first extension when you return.
Eternally Balaram is the first expansion. You answered your own question. There's no time in the spiritual world. Just like you can say that Radha and Krishna, they're one, but eternally separated. But when they separate, it's just a way of speaking. You can't understand the spiritual world with regular intelligence. So, these shastras explaining things to you in such a way that you can understand it as far as possible, according to your present intelligence. There's no question of when. Just like, when did you come to the material world? When? Can you answer that question? No. Why? Because your conditioned life began beyond time. You were injected into the material world by the glance of Mahavishnu. You were impregnated into the material world. But Mahavishnu is beyond time. Time is something that happens upon material creation. But you're coming from outside the material creation. And you're inserted into the material creation. So therefore, how can you say when your conditioned life began? You can't. Time questions don't apply. So therefore, Nishastra is explaining things as far as you can understand them in your present consciousness. If you want to understand the spiritual world, then become completely spiritualized. Any else? Ladies, any questions? So it was very enlivening last night to have one such nice guest, but you have a whole city here. If you all work together to induce people to come, Lord Chaitanya's blessings are there. You can see the potential. Then life becomes very lively. Otherwise, living selfishly, even in Krishna consciousness, I'm not saying anyone's doing that, but living selfishly, even in Krishna consciousness, it gets to be boring, you know. Because this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, and Lord Chaitanya has ordered everyone, wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach the science of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya didn't say how you had to do it, but he said everyone should do like that, and he said it to a householder. So this is Krishna consciousness as given by the succession. And if you try to take it up and try to push on these things, you'll be eternally benefited. Try to encourage those devotees who are doing a great sacrifice of just going out day after day, trying to distribute Prabhupada's books. Try to make them appreciate the value of what they're doing. But that is more easily done when everybody is doing something to spread the glories of Krishna. Something. Cooking in such a way that people will come again and again. Cleaning so that people will be attracted to such a really don't have time to get into anything else. We just have to solve our own problems in our own nest. Just let us do that and don't ask us to do anything more. Then life becomes very dry and unenlivened. Huh? Nothing else? Yes.
People that come back out of the void actually didn't make it, and they made it on a mental platform.
Talking to someone or talking to a devotee?
A devotee who if you really into the Brahma's way, you can hear it come out. And I think if that's true, we want to come to the spiritual assistance.
Hallelujah, Krishna, Param, Param, Tata, Patanjya, Dona, Aditya, Yusmarangya. Lord Brahma says that they, after performing so many austerities to reach their so-called Param, Param, supreme destination, it's not supreme because it's not Krishna's lotus feet. So even if they do get to the Brahma Jyoti, they come back because there's no activity in the Brahma Jyoti. You have to go either forward through the Brahma Jyoti, like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, or you go backwards. But you can't go forward without information about Krishna's lotus feet. So what did the four Kumaras say? They smell the fragrance, the tulsi leaves they smell on the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, and they came out. They went beyond their personal realization. So you go forward or backwards, but you can't stay there. And practically speaking, these days no one even gets there. The so-called impersonalists don't even get there. That's why Lord Brahma says, Aruya Krishna. It's even hard to say, Aruya Krishna. That means after performing great austerities or great difficulty, even if they attain what they think is a supreme destination, again they must fall down. But because of not taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So I don't know what your friend said to you, but that's the Shastric explanation. Alright. That's a good question. Anything else? Hopefully everyone is feeling hopeful in Krishna consciousness. You all see a future for yourselves. You see yourselves, you visualize yourselves as increasing in your hearing and chanting and being able to do something constructive for Lord Chaitanya's mission this way, that way. Hopefully. If you don't see that, then we need some help. It means we're drying up. Hopefully everyone has some service that they can put their heart into. Hopefully you have some reason to live, some service to Krishna's senses that defines your life. Then things become a bit exciting when you have service to Krishna's senses that defines your life. Certainly it's a challenge pushing on family life in this day and age. The world is so degraded and it's making it practically impossible to raise children properly. I was on the airplane coming from India and they had a Time magazine. I just looked at it and I was shocked. The headline article was about the latest batch of movies particularly designed for young teenagers. I want to capitalize on that market. They're giving R ratings with the idea that the 15-year-old teenage girls, they'll see it as an R rating. They'll try to sneak into the movie theater. They purposely do this. They make it very lusty and spicy. they know. They're actually, the demons who are doing this, they know. We give it an R rating. We're going to have 14 and 50-year-old girls trying to speak in the theater, and that's who we're appealing to. We're going to create a whole fad, you know. They're going to all tell their friends, oh, I snuck in, you know, I got in. Wow. They're doing this on purpose. And the movies are filthy. Oh, I can't even talk about the content. But, you know, it's to make a buck. How are we going to exploit that 13, 14, 15-year-old market? And what is the, and they talk to one of the actresses, you know, they did teenage actresses. They're going to all the best teenage TV shows, you know, and they're getting all the actors and actresses and putting them in these teen movies. And they're so degraded. I'm not going to talk about it. You can't imagine what the things they're saying. So, one of the actresses said, well, look, you know, we're just presenting real life. High school, it just means sex. And so, that's what we're presenting in the movie. So we're being truthful. We're, you know, we're just, you know, speaking the truth, you know, in a powerful way. Things like that. Very difficult raising children these days. We'll see how long Krishna allows such societies to continue. But basically speaking, they're not giving families a chance to survive. So we must give much credit to our Krishna conscious households who are struggling, trying to bring up children in these degraded times. Definitely the mercy of Krishna is needed. One scene they described in a movie they were sure was going to be a hit. Stepbrother and stepsister. The stepsister says to her stepbrother, you know, there's a new girl in our high school and, you know, she's innocent. Why don't we make a deal? If you can pollute her, then you get a reward. And if you fail, then you have to give me your sports car. And if you win, then you get to spend some time with me. This is a movie meant for young teenagers. Horrible. Stepbrother and stepsister, you know, they're making it all exciting and, you know, very provocative. And so this is what parents are going to have their children go see. And what's the excuse? Well, that's the way high school really is like, so you might as well put it on the screen. And this is what all the young girls are going to be talking about. They're particularly aiming at the girls, because they know girls spend money for, you know, magazines and, you know, movies, and they, you know, girls, they do things together. Men and boys are more solitary compared to girls. The girls, they, you know, they can be like a herd. So you make a hit movie, and all the young girls, you know, like a herd, we gotta go see it. And this is what they're gonna be seeing. They're gonna be pestering their parents, or sneaking away from their parents to go see it. And then devotee children who have to go to school with these persons, they're gonna be hearing, you didn't see that movie, what's wrong with you? Very difficult. So we all need great spiritual strength to make it through these times. And you certainly can see why Prabhupada is simply 100% pushing for a change and saying that this literature will bring about that change.